War widows can be seen as a living symbol of patriotism, a reminder of the ultimate sacrifice of service. But practically speaking, life for military widows and widowers is awash in uncertainty and paperwork. A group run by widows in Washington State wants to share what they've learned to help ease the burden. KUOW's Patricia Murphy reports.
At Mima Mounds Nature Preserve on Washington's Olympic Peninsula, about a half dozen young children are running around the parking lot. Adults are busy assembling bagged lunches.
Does anybody have sunscreen? I don't know if I need it, but I brought bug spray.
The six women on this short hike share an unenviable bond. Their husbands died while on active duty for the military. All are members of the Washington Warrior Widows. Amber Menamartini's husband, Ralph, killed himself during his second deployment to Iraq. She organized the trip to this nature preserve because of its mysterious origins. Seems no one knows exactly how this prairie of what looks like giant gopher mounds formed.
Being a widow, there are a lot of unknowns, and a lot of them are scary. But as we move forward, a lot of the unknowns become very exciting. And we're here to embrace our unknowns.
Once the children are out of earshot, the group's founder, Stephanie Groper, explains some of the harsh reality of widowhood.
After about a year, everyone disappears. Everyone says, you know, oh, you're always a part of the family and, you know, anything you need. And then they disappear.
That can be especially difficult for wives who are used to living in a tight-knit military community. For children in military families, the loss of a parent can also mean the loss of a peer group. When their dad or mom dies, they no longer qualify for military housing.
They give you 1 year to move off post. So these kids are like ripped from the life that they knew, you know, living on post, that community. They're put back into a civilian school. It's completely different for them.
Groper was 22 when her husband, Chad, was killed in Iraq. She was 7 weeks pregnant when he deployed. Their daughter, Clarissa, was 4 months old when he was killed. She's seven now.
You know, she looks forward to getting together with these kids. It's an unspoken bond. And they don't have to say, you know, I'm feeling sad, because they know the other kids here have experienced a similar loss.
Groper founded the group a year ago to help other widows and widowers move forward through supportive, social, and family-friendly events like the hike. The group now has 45 adult members plus 60 children.
This is an easy hike compared to our last one.
That was a big hike.
That was a big hike, yeah. And a lot of hills.
Yeah.
And snow.
Yeah, it was snow.
Through Facebook, they organize moving parties and home repair jobs.
Really,
they
right
also
now
grieve together. Groper says it's easy for widows to isolate themselves, but she says it's important for them to know that it's okay to move forward.
Get out, have fun, know that it's all right, and let the kids experience things.
That's what some of these widows have done. Amber Menamartini remarried 2 years after her first husband's death. Rob Martini is also in the Army. It's not unusual for military widows to remarry service members. It's what they know. There's a shared understanding of military life and of loss. Now she and her husband are expecting a new baby. But even as she moves on with her new life, she doesn't plan to leave the widows group behind.
There's one island I want to kayak to this summer. Maybe just like a widow kayaking trip to Hope Island. You know, because having hope and being a widow is really important. You've got to have something to look forward to.
And that's the challenge that these women face, balancing reverence for their former husbands with the joy and excitement of a new life. I'm Patricia Murphy reporting.